ladies, farewell and adieu to you ladies of Spain. For we've received orders but to sail for old England, but we hope in a short time to see you again. We'll rant and we'll roar like true British sailors. We'll rant and we'll roar all on the salt seas, until we strike soundings in the channel of old England. All you shan't as silly as 35 P's. We hove our ship to when the wind from southwest, boys. We hove our ship to deep soundings to take, as 45 fathoms for the white sandy bottom. So we squared our main yard and up channel and we'll rant and
farewell, Spanish ladies. That's what it is. Spanish ladies, Spanish men, and Spanish anything else. And not just Spanish, but everybody else. I would like to welcome you to episode 100 of Art House Radio. We did it. We did it. They said we couldn't do it. And it was just done. That happened. You'll never be able to take that away from us. We did it. You and me together. It's not just me. It's you. You're listening to this as well. I'm so proud of us. I couldn't be more proud of humans on an earthly setting than this moment right here, where we have together reached the centennial mark. We have reached the pinnacle of what they said wasn't possible. It doesn't matter if I've had a few whiskeys as I say this. What matters is that the whiskey is flowing through me and into you. And I don't mean that in a pervy way. I mean that in a spiritual way, some sort of a cosmic connection type of way. We did it. 100 episodes. Thank you so much for listening. I couldn't have done it without you. I mean, I probably would have done it anyway, but it means more that you are downloading this and listening to this from Portland to Lansing to Detroit to Canada to London, England, to York, to New Zealand, to Australia and Germany, Sweden. I see all the downloads. I can't thank you enough. You are forever special to me, and I wish that I could cyber kiss and hug all of you. If you would just contact me or follow me at arthouse43, I would send you love back, because I don't know who you are, but I thank you, and I'm glad that we have been along for this ride. It's not over. I'm not ending this. I know I said it a couple weeks ago, but, you know, I just wanted to launch a new thing. Pardon me, we've got a little Detroit fire here. Thankfully, the fires have not been as crazy the last several years. They were pretty bad for a while, but just like this podcast, we're getting through it. We're getting through it, and, you know, this podcast will make way for the new podcast, Troy Meets World, and we will set sail for England, Spanish ladies, and we will come back to this and make new ones after this. In fact, I believe I'll be swamp casting some of my conversations. You may be saying, what is swamp casting, Troy? Well, it's a fancy new term I learned the other day. It's where you upload conversations or bits to several podcasts at once. So I've got some conversations coming up with artists, an artist, I'm not going to say where, but they're very well known, in art circles here at least, and in England. And, I'll be talking with executive director of MOCAD, the Museum of Contemporary Art, on Monday. We'll be talking from Mike Kelly's homestead or from the museum. I'm not sure which. So that'll be Swampcast up on this one. I'll put it up here and Troy Meets World. I recorded a conversation today with Sebastian Krinkle. He is a micropsychologist, an artist, an organic activist, and a gastroeconomist. Don't believe me? Tune into the conversation. You'll hear it on Troy Meets World soon. But I'm not here to talk about Troy Meets World. I'm here to talk about Art House Radio. Listen, I was thinking about how I could do the 100th episode, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great, you know, in episode 75, a dream of episode 100, what would I do? You know what? I'm not going to do anything special. I'm going to do what I'm doing now, except that I'm going to let somebody else take over this guy is, hold on. There's a YouTuber named Tyler Mann, and he put up a conversation he had with a homeless man in, I don't know where it is, but it's got about 3 million views. And it says, the title of his Homeless Man Spit Some Truth. And this guy hit a lot of buttons, and I figured I'm not going to end this show or end whatever this is with a clip of Terrence McKenna or John Cage or Alan Watts or Jacques Derrida or some other windbag who wants to tell you how to live, who that I've certainly love and support. But, you know, you got to find your own Alan Watts inside you, your own Terrence McKenna, your own Nietzsche inside of you. You got to find out what that is. And then you got to make it work, and you got to apply it to your life. You can't go out to the reservation and take the Sundance and just bring it back to your home. I almost said stupid home. Your home, and then make it work. That doesn't work that way. The Sundance works for them. And I don't mean us and them in that kind of way. I just mean it works for that group. I don't mean that group by that group. Stop it, liberals. You're getting into my head. I'm just kidding. You got to find your own Sundance, and you got to call it something else. It's you. You're unique. You can't just, you know, take something from somewhere else and then use it exactly. And even if you did, it would still end up like you. There was an artist on BBC Radio 3's program Here and Now with Tom Service. Mr. Tom Service and I both went to the same university in England, University of York, the University of York, the north of York, north of England. Great show. It's on Saturday afternoons. If you haven't heard it, you should check it out. And he had, I believe, Sandy Berger, I believe. No, not Sandy Berger. I can't remember his last name. He's a composer. And he was talking about authenticity and uniqueness. And he gave the example that you could give everyone a 5-note melody of Mozart's, and you could give it to 20 different composers, right? Apply that to Shakespeare. Give like a 4-word sentence and apply it to them and make a short little speech about it, okay? You give that 5-note melody by Mozart to 20 different composers, and you have them write something based off of that. So you listen to 20 different works that were all based on the same thing, and you know how you're going to tell them apart? By themselves. They're all going to shine through. And that's what we all have to do, don't we? I mean, that's the whole point of this. The point isn't to just follow along. The point isn't to just make things, you know, that have been done before. Make things that you think sound good. Make it you. You got to make it whatever you are shine through. If that's at work, if that's in sculpture, if that's in printmaking or music or architectural planning or astrophysicist style, astrophysics, you make it you. Now, that's astrophysics is a little bit different because, I mean, you know, you're analyzing the cosmos or the universe or whatever it is that you do. So you can't really make that you, but you find solutions in a way that you can. And you got to trust yourself. You got to make it happen. Coming from someone who doesn't make it happen or makes this podcast happen, I guess so that counts, right? I mean, I'm still figuring things out. So are you. But we figure things out together. We figure things out together and on our own. But we have a balance. And the point is that you can't let a John Cage or a Terrence McKenna or a Joe Rogan or a Marc Maron or a CNN or an MSNBC or a Rachel Maddow or a Sean Hannity or a Plato or Socrates or whoever it is, you can't let them dictate everything. You take what little knowledge they provide to you in the time traveling from wherever they were to your ear, from their mouths to your ear, hundreds of years later or whatever it is. You take it, you use it and you apply it to your own life. Yes. But eventually you're the one who's going to come up with it. It's going to be you, and you're going to have to form it. You're going to have to shape it. There was a guitarist once who was hanging around the Van Halen set at the peak, you know, spandex, David Lee Roth doing the leaps, all that kind of thing. And he wanted so bad to play on Eddie's guitar with Eddie's setup, right? It was all set up. This is a roadie story, by the way. And so the guy grabs the guitar and he starts playing it. And he was so disappointed because it didn't sound like Eddie. It sounded like him. It wasn't him. It wasn't the tone. It wasn't the pedals. It wasn't the guitar or the amps that made Eddie sound like Eddie Van Halen. It was Eddie Van Halen. You can't replicate other things. It doesn't work. That was Eddie's Sundance. He created it himself. And that's what you have to do. And I think the more we connect with that idea and the more we connect with each other when we succeed or when we fail at those endeavors, then I think we start to grow together. And I hope that over the last 100 episodes that has happened a little bit, that you and I have found our way, whether it's listening or tweeting at or sending me messages or sharing or texting or whatever it is, or just listening and me talking. I hope that we've reached some sort of a different level, a higher level, so to speak, so that we can move forward and be together and hold hands figuratively and literally as we march down the street and fight for what we want. And I would have to think that that's freedom and uniqueness and comfortability in who we are and happiness and sadness and all the words in between, so that we can march forward and try to make some sense of this world that we don't understand, that people try to define for us and they try to tell us what it is. And they try to tell us that it's a 9-to-5 job, or that it's this education, or it's that person, or it's that relationship, or it's, this type of life pattern. You get to define that. And it's harder when you get on in age to make those changes and to define that path yourself. And the longer you wait, the better the chance of somebody making that path for you. Yes. But I refuse to believe that you have to settle. The concrete never settles. I know people want to tell you that when you get older, it gets harder. You can't learn a language. You can't go to Alaska. You can't go backpacking through the Appalachian trails. You can. You just have to do it. Believe me, if this dumb motherfucker talking into the microphone right now can have 100 episodes on iTunes and have a very healthy, unexpected, surprising amount of downloads and listens over that course, over the first two seasons. This is the end of the second season, I would imagine. That's what I'm going to call it. If I can do that, then you could do that, and you could do so much more. So with that in mind, I am going to play as my sort of centennial celebration of you and me together, and whiskey, because that's whiskey's involved in this. You need to know that. You need to know that whiskey's involved in this, but not in an obscene way, not in a terrible way, and not in an overly concerning way. I recorded an episode with Sebastian Krinkle, and then he's the gastroeconomist and the micropsychologist and the organic activist. And we recorded a podcast. It went great, got some new equipment. And then we went down to a local Detroit watering hole in our neighborhood, and we had a few glasses, and we raised our pool sticks, and we celebrated. And that's what you do. You have to love yourself as well. Don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing it. You're alive. You're winning. And so with all that in mind, listen to this homeless man who talks, you know, maybe a little bit negatively about the world, about how they don't care, but he's doing it. He's making it happen, and he's got some truth. And I figured, what better way to end it than with somebody who clearly 3 million people identify with this person, because that's how many times this video has been seen. So, I love you. Thank you for listening to these 100 episodes. I will see you in future episodes, and I will see you in Troy Meets World, the hot new podcast that's hotter than flapjacks on a brunch Sunday at a packed restaurant in the hippest, smartest part of town. Troy Meets World. It's coming at you at @TroyMeets_world or Troyston D on Instagram or Sounds Like Troy Ramos on Facebook. And of course, Art House at Art House 43. The legend continues. And I hope you will transfer over to that podcast and come back to this podcast when we resume season 3. Let's just do it. We can do it. We can do anything we want. We are the one in charge. We're the ones in charge. How about that sentence? All right. Sometimes it feels like darkness, and I had some darkness recently. It's part of being human. We all feel a little bit like we're caged. We all feel a little bit like we are in some sort of slavery system or prison or a plantation earth, if you know what I'm saying. But the truth is that there are like hundreds or thousands of us in these little plantations, and there's only one or two people guarding us. And those aren't good odds for the opposite side. So we always have hope. Okay, let's end this. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to go to our website, arthouse43.com. You can check us out on Instagram and Twitter at arthouse43. And that's enough plugs. Let's go to the homeless man spitting truth on an American summer day. Until next time, friends.
And so
you asked me if doing prison was the hard part, and I spent over 12 years in prison. In 18 years, I did 12 total. And it wasn't the hard part, wasn't going to prison, it was getting out and trying to be part of society again. Because at one time I was a contractor, I had 4 employees, 3-bedroom house, blah, 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 blah. And I had to lose it all to realize it was just stuff, but still. Then when you're done with your time, and I discharged my sentence in February 11th of 2011, I got my parole papers signed off. I became a citizen again. I can actually vote. I can actually go in and vote for the president. But I can't get a job here or here or here. I can't have any apartments because they won't accept felons. And I even went through an agency that took felons, and they'll give a pedophile an apartment before they will me because I had a drug charge. I wasn't even dealing drugs. I had possession. But anybody that has possession of drugs, they're worried about them selling drugs in their apartments, so they won't give them one. But this place would give a pedophile, somebody who raped a little baby or something, and give them an apartment, but they wouldn't let me have one because of my felony, because I had a drug felony. And it's just the hard part was just becoming part of society again. It's like they didn't want me. They didn't want me to be part of their society anymore. So I just decided, fuck it. I'm going to sleep in a tent. I'm going to do what I love for a living, which is playing music. And if I just make a little bit of money, I'd rather do what I love with a passion and make a little money than go back to contracting and try to make a lot of money and be part of a society that doesn't even want me no more. Fuck them, you know? Fuck society. That's the way I feel.
Feel that? Why did...
I meet a lot of good people, but I believe there's a lot of good people out there, but for the most part, most people, all they care about is themselves. You could be standing there on the corner bleeding and people just drive by you. They wouldn't want no part of it. They wouldn't want no part of the drama. So there'd be 1 in 10 that might stop and help. You know? I walked up to a woman once to ask her what time it was. I was pushing a cart. Me and my wife were pushing our cart. We had all our stuff in a grocery cart. I was pushing. I needed to know what time it was. So I went up to ask this woman what time it was. She's like, oh, get away from me. I don't have any money. Leave me alone. I'm like, I don't want money. She's like, just get away from me. Go. I'm like, and I'm thinking, what could have this woman been through that she's so terrified of a stranger that she... What if my wife was pregnant, her water just broke, and I needed help? I mean, who knows? What if I was having chest pain and I needed her to call 911? She didn't care. It was just, get away from me. Go. I don't got no money. She thought all I wanted was her money. I just want to know what time it was. And it hurt, man. It's like, damn.
It does hurt.
You know, it's like, damn. It's humanity. So many people, what have they been through that makes them so terrified of relationships and people that they just don't want nothing to do with nobody? It's sad.
I wasn't scared of you when I saw you.
Well, but you're one in a million, you know? I mean, you're actually sitting down and talking to me, you know? Most people don't give a damn. But it's all right. You know, when it comes down to it, I came in this world by myself, and when I die, I'm going to be the only one in that coffin. And so really all I guess that matters is me, I guess. I don't know. I think people matter, but the more I'm starting to see, less and less.
You matter, bro.
I I feel that way about you too, man. You matter. I mean, you care.
You
it's
matter.
Sad to see that most people don't. It's just sad because there's so much beautiful things in life. There's so many beautiful things in life. Relationships are beautiful. Nobody wants relationships. Check this out. I've got over 240 some friends on Facebook. Most of them I knew from high school. I mean, I knew a lot of people. I got around, all right? 240 some people I know on Facebook. Most of them I thought were good friends from high school. Christmas Day, I Facebooked them all and I'm like, hey, it's Christmas. I haven't talked to some of y'all in over 20 years. Here's my number. Call me. Let's have a conversation. Nobody. And I posted that thing over and over Christmas Day. Nobody. And I'm talking people that asked me to be their friend. Oh, so-and-so wants you to be their friend. Well, I know this person from high school. Sure, I'll be their friend.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means people don't want relationships no more. They're so into their internet and so into their Facebook. They got their faith. This is their idol. Internet's become an idol, man. It's like people don't want relationships. They want the kind of relationships where they can be who they want to be and be who they are. You know, instead of being who they are, be who they want to be and pretend to be. Oh, yeah, I'm 6'4" and I got dark hair and blue eyes and big shoulders. But then I can't ever meet this person because I don't look like that, you know? And most people on these internet relationships, man, a girl, my high school sweetheart, I hooked up with her on Facebook, contacted her. Hey, man, let's meet. Well, she gave me her number. She's like, well, look, just text me. I really don't have time for conversations no more. She'd rather go text back and forth for 2 hours, texting back and forth, instead of having a 10-minute conversation that could have summed it all up. People don't want conversations. They don't want nothing no more. I don't know what they want. But this world sucks, man. The way that people see it. Really.
Totally agree. I mean, but
I'm just trying to make the world a more better place, man, a more beautiful place. And if music and art can do it and somebody appreciates it, that's all that matters. If I can make a difference in one person's life, that's all that matters.
You made a difference in my life.
Praise God. I mean, hallelujah.
You did. I wouldn't be sitting here with you if he hadn't.
Yeah.
Because you were playing your guitar when I walked up.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a positive difference, you know. We can all make a negative influence in somebody's life, but if we can be a positive difference in somebody's life and make them just think for a minute, maybe there is something worth caring about.